Okay, now I have to.
Hey, Wayne, how are you?
Okay, now I'm on again. Okay, how you doing? I'm in Sydney, New York.
Yeah, wow. Cool. Not to be confused with the Sydney not far from me.
Yeah, well, every time I get someone new on the phone, I don't know, some sort of company, I say, "Well, you're all the way in Sydney." I said, "No, I'm in New York." You know.
Yeah. Whereabouts is that in relation to
It's
that city?
well, I'm from New York City. I left New York City in my 30s, in the late 80s, moved upstate New York. It's a very rural area. I'm near like Binghamton, New York, Albany. Oh, this is great. This is why I want to start the Google Hangouts too, because other people can join in like this.
Yeah, that's great. Now that I'm pretty new to using this. I've only done like two other live streams, I think, and one test. And the software that I was trying to use that was supposed to make life easier didn't make life easier. And I ended up just yeah. This would be a really great tool to know how to use properly. So I appreciate you jumping in
Oh,
on it and being the first of the the
I
friends
couldn't
to.
wait because I did two. There's a couple of people that do audio podcasts. I do a few of them here and there too.
Yeah.
They had me start the Google Hangout, and I did like two very short ones, but like no one even saw them.
Yeah.
No one joined in or anything, you know.
I'll tell you what, next time we might have to get like a group discussion happening one time on here too. I think that'd be fun. We can just have people jump in and contribute. I think that's always more fun than me just having a talk. I always end up with a really dry throat by the end of it.
Because I've seen them before where there was many people, contributing to it, but I never was able to join. I couldn't find your Google Plus this time, the first time, but then when you posted the link and then you gave directions to click on the Hangouts, and here I am. Look at
Yeah,
that.
cool. All right, we've actually got a couple of people on here, so I'm going to go over to stay on the chat here, Wayne. I'll go
Oh,
over to
absolutely.
Kerry. Kerry from Canada is here too, so
Hey, Shane.
let's skip across. How are you, Kerry?
Very good.
Thanks for joining in.
I've seen you log into the Hangouts with Will and Duncan, those guys.
Oh,
I've
I've
never
never
actually.
actually never actually been on their stream. They invited me once, but
Oh, no?
yeah,
Oh, okay.
I that video you're talking about was a podcast I did with Will, but we did that mostly just via audio.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, we did it via Skype. Yeah, cool.
All you Australians, they sound the same, right?
Yeah, that's it. It could have been
Different
another Aussie guy with
Another Shane.
well, I don't know. That's odd. Yeah, the only I posted some podcast videos with Will, which went over. That had a mixed reaction. But
Okay. Yeah.
yeah, I don't know what you thought of the podcasts and stuff. But yeah, he seems like a nice enough guy to me. I don't have any gripes with him. I know some people
I
don't
think
like what he says.
basically he's a nice guy. He looks, forward in what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And but other than that, he just doesn't want to take any bullshit.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what
And
it comes
just
down to.
yeah, I ended up some of the most recent videos I posted of the podcast with him, I ended up blocking comments because people were just, they argue back and forth, and it was sort of went off topic where people are threatening people, and it's like this is nothing to do with the content of the video. So yeah, it was an interesting experience. I just thought it'd be a bit of fun to have a chat with him because I know he's been through a lot of the negative side of YouTube, whereas I haven't really dealt with any of that, luckily. I get the odd person that hates everything that I do, but a lot of guitar players know better than a lot of other guitar players. That's how
You know
that
what? Some people just have no life and they just need some kind of attention. Doesn't matter
Yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I do some podcasts and I participate in other podcasts on just an audio network, and they
Yeah.
always have open chat rooms in there. And you join the show usually because everyone uses Skype. And the people in the chat, they're, you know, if they could be violent, they would be. They, people get blocked and banned all the time because they just argue, and it's yeah. It's interesting, you know. But their topic is not like what this is. You know, everyone's a musician. Most people here are musicians, and we're all interested in the same thing.
Or appreciate music.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, no one's going to get angry because you don't use a humbucker. You know.
I really don't play myself. I have a bunch of guitars, and I try to practice, but the dedication of practice is not there. What I've been doing a lot lately, probably over the last year, is recording open mics. There was one we were recording, or that I recorded at a vegan restaurant, and that was closed down eventually. It's just it just wasn't busy enough.
So where were you?
On the outskirts of Toronto.
Oh, okay.
I'm in a suburb of Toronto, actually.
Cool.
So, yeah.
How long have you been playing? I'm sorry.
There's a bar here. I don't go to bars. I don't drink. So I'm still waiting for the cannabis to be legalized here. It's not that I'm a big user, but you know.
You'll have to move to San Francisco.
I find that a little bit more non-violent than alcohol.
Yes. I have a friend in Nova Scotia is waiting for it to be legal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people down there waiting for that to be legal.
Yeah.
That's actually originally from where I'm from. But there's a lot of bars that have open mics, and I've recorded a few of those bars. And they're just busy, and you know, people just walking in front of your camera and stuff like that. But there's one we did at David Bowie, or not we, but there was a David Bowie tribute they did just a while ago.
Cool.
And actually, I'm really surprised at how good my microphone is on my camera, because they are just blasting it out, and I'm probably about 10 feet from the speaker.
Yeah, a lot of those new cameras have that. They sort of auto-level they limit the volume. So, yeah. With my old Sony cameras, they're great. You could literally almost put them in front of a guitar amplifier and full blast, and it would still compensate the gain. It'd bring the gain down. They're really cool.
Yeah, I discovered that last summer. It was probably about 5 feet away from a speaker, and I thought for sure this thing was just going to be clipping away, but no, it came up great.
Yeah, some of the older analog style microphones, they're the ones you'll have the full-blown distortion with, but they sound better if it's not clipping. But, digital mics these days are awesome on cameras. You can't beat them.
Yeah.
So how long have you been playing? How many years?
Who's that directed to, sorry?
Oh, to you, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I'd always been around music when I was a kid. I learned the recorder when I was in, like, primary school. I learned that from, like, grade 2 to grade 6, I think it was. And then I learned to play 3 chords in primary school. So I learned D, A, and E, and that was all I knew for a long time. And then I put the guitar down. I learned one other little thing. I learned how to play the Blues Brothers Peter Gunn bass line, dun, 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 you know, nice and simple. And then I put the guitar down till late high school, and that's when I started picking it up and playing again then. So I had probably 5 or 6 years without really playing guitar at all. And then when I turned like 19, I really hurt my back. I couldn't walk for a while, so that was where I got a Strat, like a Squire, and started learning how to play blues. And a lot of that was from, I was living in Michigan at the time, actually, and I spent a bit of time there and doing some work. And yeah, it was that was when the blues, I decided, you know, that's kind of what I want to play. And it was really easy for me then, because I knew what to listen to and, you know, to find music that inspired me to want to learn. I guess that's always been the thing with me. I haven't spent any time learning stuff that doesn't interest me guitar-wise. So I didn't have the same distractions that people have. You know, they'll go to get lessons, for example, and the guy will be teaching them a style of music, or whoever might teach them a style of music that isn't in their interest. So it's hard for people to learn that way. I always felt like I'm just going to listen to the stuff that I like and try to pick the most out of that. So, yeah, I guess my first, I started going to the jam nights around that time as well, 1999, 2000. My first gig that I did as a sit-in thing would have been somewhere around 2002, I think it was, from memory. That was the first, like, actual gig I did as a guitar player for another band. But I've got that on video somewhere, too. It's pretty funny. I had a lot of hair.
Yeah. I didn't have so much beard and gray either, you know.
What a
lot of musicians, what influenced them not just to play, but what they like to play is usually what they see first early on, like as a teenager or whatever. Because the first couple of guitarists that I saw live, I saw Jimmy Page in the Yardbirds.
Yeah, wow.
In a high school cafeteria in Queens, New York.
Yeah.
And then I saw him at the Anderson Theater, the last show before he went back to England and then started Led Zeppelin. And the most influential guitarist I saw was the first time I saw a real concert in the theater at the Fillmore East. I saw Paul Butterfield Blues Band with Elvin Bishop.
Yeah, wow.
And I saw that, and I wasn't even playing the guitar yet. I think I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I went out and I got a guitar.
Yeah, wow. Oh, that's fantastic.
But it was the blues that did it.
Yeah, and same with me. I think the first recollection I have of friends that I met playing guitar, they were probably playing basic sort of blues stuff as well, like... although I didn't, the funny thing with me is I didn't go to see a lot of concerts up until or shows up until I was really playing guitar. I never really went to them as a kid. I saw a couple of local people play guitar, but I knew, especially when I was in Michigan, that was kind of like the time that changed music for me. Was when a guy that I was working with, Rob, played. He could play all the Eric Clapton Unplugged stuff, and I didn't even know what it was, but I knew I really liked the sound of it. He had a great voice as well, and, you know, that was inspiration enough for me to go, man, this blues is awesome. Like, he showed me sort of how the formula worked, and I couldn't quite remember it or work it out properly, but he was patient enough to show me a bluesy knee, and, you're right. It's probably who you see early on or what you hear, and I think as a kid, too, like, my favorite movie for you know, it's still one of my top three movies is the Blues Brothers, you know, and I think I knew that music back to front in terms of, you know, what I like to. It's just such a great movie, So we got someone else on the call. Here's this David.
Yes, it is I.
Hey, how are you? So you do have a webcam. I thought you were Mr. Recluse when it comes to.
No, I don't have a webcam. This is the cam from my laptop.
Oh, well, I mean, you got a camera at least anyway. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Oh, and I have a microphone that looks like a dildo.
Okay.
Just don't put it in the wrong place.
So we've got a bit of a multi...
Who are these fine gentlemen here?
We've got an international call happening. Here we go.
How you doing, Dave?
Hello.
So David's one of the guys I do a podcast with from time to time. We've done one at the moment, but
David from the chat just before.
Yeah.
Yes, that's me.
Oh, okay. I'm Wayne.
Hello. Oh, hello, Wayne. How are you doing, man? Where are you from?
Oh, I'm okay. Sydney, New York.
Cool. Lisboa, yeah. Portugal.
Yeah, David's all the way in Portugal, so we've got someone from most of the continents now. All we need is someone from from Russia and some of the Asian countries and Africa, and we're good to go, I think.
Sorry, Shane. Who's the other gentleman?
We've got Kerry from Canada.
Yeah, just outside of Toronto here.
Hi, Kerry.
Hey, David.
Greetings, my friend.
Go for it.
Are these two gentlemen in the blues forum?
No.
You should. It's a nice place to be.
Wayne should be. He plays the blues.
I'm not sure. Oh, you mean, is that what I'm interested in, or is it an actual internet forum.
No, the forum. Shane's forum. Shane's forum in the Blues. I asked if you were there.
I think I have. Because I found Shane because in 2011 I got the Fender Mustang amp. Mm-hmm. Because I had to replace all my equipment. It's a long story. I got that and I put this Fuse software on my computer and I started programming different sounds. And I just stumbled on In the Blues, and you were posting your patches for the amplifier, and that's how I wound up here.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
4 years, 3 or 4 years later. Yeah.
Yeah. The forum is it started it, online, like it's full blown 1992 technology. So if you're it's all the PHPBB, which is like the old school bulletin boards, but yeah, it's grown a lot and people are posting some cool stuff. So it, how are you enjoying the Mustang amp?
I'm loving it. I lost all my equipment in 2006 because we had a flood here.
Oh, no.
And it was a lifetime's worth of equipment. I had original like Dan Armstrong orange squeezer, the first MXR stereo chorus box, and I lost everything but my guitars. I got my guitars onto the second floor so they weren't damaged. And then I replaced everything, then there was a second flood. And what I replaced was just a couple of small practice amps for my home because I don't play out anymore. And but a whole bunch of effects pedals. So I lost them the second time. And I didn't have the money, or I didn't want to replace all those pedals again, because now I'm living in an apartment. I got the Mustang One, and I have a small USB mixer, and that's all I do. It's all I use for the past 5 years now. It's great.
Yeah, great. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Like a lot of people didn't believe those amps were as good as what I was making out, they sound great. I've used them for gigs and everything, the Mustang 3 and 4 especially, but they're great lamps.
I believe that because I really enjoyed your review of the PV Bandit amplifiers.
Yeah, they're killer.
I started using them in 1979 because I was going crazy dragging around these heavy Fender amps and small Marshalls and replacing tubes.
Yeah.
And I tried one. Someone had one at some jam. I liked it. I bought one. And then in the 80s, I just started buying them used, and I wound up using them until into 2000. Yeah. I used to bring two with me, and depending on the gig, I'd use one or two. String them together.
I used my PV Bandit last night. They just sound great. Like,
fantastic.
Put it up against nearly any other tube or valve amp. You know, like they're loud and proud, man. Those things, and they take pedals extremely well. Like that's, I think, the advantage they have over some other amps. You know, solid state amps is that you can use your pedal rig and it'll rock. It'll just sound like what you'd expect. So yeah, oh cool. Sorry to hear about your gear. That, you know, losing your stuff twice or having two floods. That's no good.
Yeah. Well, I didn't lose my guitars, so I still have I have an Ovation 12 string from 1970s. I've got my Telecaster from 1988, American Standard, the one with the Joe Barden pickups in it.
Yeah, great.
And a Strat from 1990, and I'm good.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the Joe Barden pickups? You've obviously been using them a lot longer than me, but
Well, I got one of them because the same reason that you did, because I didn't like the single coil hum. I was joining a band that was had a lot more rock and roll in it, mm-hmm. and I needed a better pickup for the neck pickup for the rhythm. So, and this was before he had like a regular company. I got his name from Danny Gatton. And I called him up, and he made me the rhythm pickup, the neck pickup. And I went to the audition where I auditioned them, and they auditioned me. And it sounded so good. And, you know, back in the 80s, $125 for a pickup was a lot of money.
Yeah. You know,
DiMarzio's, Seymour Duncan's for like a Tele or a Strat were like $35 at the time.
Yeah, wow.
You know, so I immediately called him up and I ordered the bridge pickup, and I've been using it since it was either 88 or 89. Never taken them out. I still play it every day.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I went over to single coils for about one gig. I took the Bardens. I mean, I had the single coil pickups back in my Telecaster for probably a month, but when I did one gig where at a place that made the guitar unusable, I just went, nah, I'm going straight back to the Joe Bardens.
You can't really call them clubs. They were bars with live music in them. And sometimes you'd be like right next to the neon beer signs and stuff.
Yeah.
You can't have any single coil anywhere near, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So, Kerry, what sort of guitars are you into, man? What sort of stuff you enjoy?
Actually, what I'm really doing is I just end up, I bought myself a big baby Taylor just to start learning. And cool. Then, yeah, it turns out that I just wasn't really practicing. And then it turns out I just start buying them. And it's like, what the hell am I doing here? And now I got too many. But what I usually do is I will, because pretty well, if you buy a $300 or $500 guitar now, you immediately got to get a fret job done on it. Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing is basically starting to do fret jobs, start learning how to work on them, stuff like
that's
that.
Great.
So yeah, because you're getting fret buzz and everything for people who can just afford like a $300 guitar. That's a lot of money to some people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just starting out or whatever. I mean, it depends on the type of job you have.
But, and it's definitely a good skill to have, being able to do some stuff to your guitar. Like, I've never really messed with the frets on any of my guitars. It's something that I need to learn more about, but I can do the electronic side of it on the most part now, which is something that I find pretty valuable, especially just changing pickups. I used to have, you know, pay guys at shops to change pickups for me, but that's... You know, something that I've learned to basically do on my own. But yeah, it's a good skill to have, man. Good stuff.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, changing. It's actually. I'm kind of mechanically inclined anyway. Like, I can work on my own car, stuff like that. And this actually works out the same way. If you can take it apart, you can put it back together.
It's
really that simple.
Doesn't work with me.
you just have to watch out you don't burn yourself with a soldering iron and
you take things apart and they stay apart.
Yeah. Now, you know, if someone came to you and they purchased a new guitar and that was in like you said, like in the $300 range, but they needed the frets leveled because, right, you know, it was unplayable because of the buzz, what would you charge them? I'm curious.
Probably I don't know, it could be like $100, $150, I think they do some. I think that's the usual price.
Yeah, and once you find a good guitar tech or whatever you need to call them, it's a great thing to have someone to bring your instruments to set them up and stuff, you know.
Well, I mean, there's so many stores here that will do it for you, but they usually just, you know, ship it out to somebody else who will do it, whoever they have doing the work for them.
When I lived in New York, there were guitar repair shops, stores, it was Manny's Music, guitar builders. But then I moved upstate New York where it's very rural. There's nothing here. And there's been nothing here for 25 years.
Oh, really?
And, okay. Yeah. And if I find a place in a bigger city, they want like $300 for a fret job, $200 to level the frets.
Well, I mean, if you have to change the frets, now that's a different story because...
Yeah, but even just leveling them, like $200, that's a lot of money.
I mean, yeah, we don't even pay that here, which is pretty odd because Australia is, like, way more expensive than the rest of the world for just about anything you buy. Like, this will make everybody laugh. Bottle of Coke, how much do you think this is at a 7-Eleven or at, like, a convenience shop?
$1.50. Well, Our Canadian dollar is down in the
$4.80.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a small bottle of Coke.
We have 2 liter bottles for 99 cents here.
Yeah. I with my experience in the US and very limited in Canada as well, it's definitely a lot cheaper over there. But yeah, our fret jobs here are about $100. You can get your frets polished or leveled or whatever on electric guitars. To get them replaced with stainless steel frets from a guy who knows what he's doing, which is my preferred way of doing it, I leave that to an expert with all the tools, $400.
Okay.
Well, it depends on the time you have to put into it. And steel frets are a little harder, too.
They are. They last me forever now. These stainless steel 6105s, won't wear out.
That's so $400 to spend.
Does it sound different?
It's funny because, initially I thought it sounded brighter, but the guy goes, the tech I use said, don't let that confuse you. It's more to do with how polished they are than, he said over time they'll probably get, they won't corrode, but they won't, he goes, they're always brightest right at the start. Whether it's just the strings. Yeah, that's it, yeah. But they're just not worn out at all. They've literally, I used my Telecaster last night. That's the guitar that I had refretted, and it plays unbelievably great. He did such a good job and so much better than those vintage frets that wore down after like 3 or 4 years. Like, it just, it plays itself, that guitar. It's great.
But it's like having a new guitar again. So that $400 is well worth it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I couldn't have. That's one guitar I'll never sell. Like, the neck's perfect for my hand. Everything just feels good. So yeah, it's definitely. It was an investment for that. And I could do the same thing with my Strat. If I was to keep it, I'd have to get the neck changed and bigger frets. But I just can't justify that when I know I could probably find one that would do the job for me for probably around the same price by the time I get all that done. So.
That's what happened when I got my Telecaster. I was on like a lifetime search for the perfect Stratocaster. And after another few months of checking out guitars everywhere, I found the Telecaster. It fit my hand, just like you said when you're going to get rid of, you want to sell your Strat now again too.
Yeah.
Because it fit. And it's 28 years I've been playing the same guitar.
Yeah, that's great.
Great when you find the right one.
So, David, how's your gas lately, man? Have you ordered any more pedals since we last spoke?
Not yet, unfortunately. Oh, first of all, I'm smoking. Okay,
that's all right. I don't can't smell it.
Smoking.
So
don't mind my smoking. It's a nasty habit.
So
I can't smell it. So it's fine.
I'm sorry.
It's a free world.
Portuguese people have this very nasty habit of smoking. Everybody smokes. And not
seven Canadians.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty universal thing, man.
No, I didn't order any new pedals, not lately, but maybe next month, for sure. And probably a Ditto loop pedal.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, they're really good. Yeah. I got to check out one of those. Couple of months back, they're really good.
Yeah, you see, Electronics released the new version, the X4.
Okay. Cool. I haven't seen that yet.
No, you have to check it out, man.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, I bought the small one when it came out. That pedal is fun.
It's good.
It's really fun. I mean, you can get so much practice time out of it without turning on a computer, without running any kind of loops or anything. You just make your own loops as you go along and keep building on them.
True. Yep.
I'm going to light it up now.
What about you, Kerry? You'll be the last one left. No, I don't smoke. I don't smoke, so I won't be lighting one up, but I can grab it. I can grab it. One of these pens here.
I'm a pretty boring guy. I don't smoke or drink. The only thing I smoke is good stuff, and that's not legal here yet.
Yeah. I don't. I drink infrequently. Like, I went a couple of years without drinking at all, but I might have a couple of drinks a year. That'd be about it for me. I'm pretty much a lightweight now when it comes to that stuff.
I was just down in Jamaica for 2.5 weeks over the Christmas holidays, and I got my fill there. I couldn't smoke all the time anyway. Like I work in the IT world, so you got to be thinking what you're doing.
Yeah, that's pretty much one of the reasons. Well, I was in the same field. I've worked in IT for years as well, corporate IT stuff, and you need to be on your game. I know if I had a big night out and I was trying to think the next day, it just doesn't work.
I have a question. How many musicians, guitarists, because I know mostly guitarists and drummers, how many people, musicians, you know, that aren't or haven't been into computers and stuff? Because it seems like I'm going back like even to like the 90s and even back to the 80s, most of the older guys that I know that are musicians were all into computers very early on, which I was too, building PC clones before there were hard drives with two floppies and CompuServe and Genie. Yeah.
I think maybe it's the tedium of IT that you want to learn music. There's something about it.
Maybe it's the mathematical. Maybe the mathematical part of it too.
I don't know about the math part, but if you're a programmer, I guess.
Yeah, one of my good friends is a computer programmer. He's quite a great guitar player as well. He's an older guy, and he's done a lot of that sort of stuff. Another guy in my band, Brian, he's like an artistic sort of, he does a lot of Photoshop work and that. It's funny, over the years, I've known quite a number of tech guys at play. So, maybe it has something to do with that.
Yeah, that's what I meant too, because it's not a surprise anymore, not just musicians who are into computers, but tech guys. Like, if my internet tech has to come over here, 10 minutes in, he'll tell me all about his banjo playing and his guitar playing, and he winds up hanging out for 2 hours, you know?
Yeah. Let me just quickly say, sorry, I cut you off.
No problem.
Anyone who's just joined the chat as well, or the live stream, I should say, keep calling it the chat, it's like from 1995, if you want to join in on the live video part where we can all chat, I just posted a link in the or if you want to join in the Hangout, I should say. I got all the terms wrong. Just follow the link I'm posting right now, and you can join via webcam, and that's how you get on. I'm trying this for the first time, and appreciate the guys for joining in. This is cool fun. We definitely have to do this more than me just rambling on.
Nice.
Did you have to put the Google Hangout on your that I clicked on your Google Plus page? Because my Google page doesn't have that, even though I use the Hangout. Maybe this is why no one joined.
I had to manually post it, and it wouldn't. There's a share button somewhere from the window. The window that I'm like, I see all you guys in. I'm not sure if you see the same thing as me or how it works, but there's literally a share button on the top left, and it posted it to Google Plus. It would be great if they also had a way to share this to other social networks. But
that's good, because a lot of people are trying to figure this out.
When I initially clicked on the link that you had there, and it takes me to my Google Plus page, the page. And I had to click on join in order to. I could see the feed and everything, but then there was still one button I had to still click on in order to get in.
Okay, cool. And it obviously didn't ask you for any. Sorry, David, go for it.
I had to install a plugin. I took the link, and then I had to install a plugin, and my PC started crapping on me.
You probably had to install Java or whatever it is, or some sort of.
You have to get rid of that P4.
Yeah.
I'm using Firefox, and it gave me a couple of questions: permission and allow and remember. And stuff.
Yeah.
The only thing is now I have to keep clicking on as people are talking. I'm literally clicking on the windows, so if I don't click back on myself. I don't come back up, or when someone starts talking. Originally, it was doing it automatically, but because I clicked it, I clicked manual mode, it's sort of, it's not doing that now, so.
Okay, so if you don't click manual, it will do that automatically.
Yeah, so I made the mistake of clicking on the windows just to see what would happen. So I've learned a little bit. So, yeah, if the editing looks pretty bad to the people watching on the stream, that's because sometimes I'm forgetting to click on each person's little face box here.
Yeah, I noticed that whenever you talk, you go to the big screen. Then.
Yeah, I thought it was automatic. It looks good on my end here.
It should be automatic. I shouldn't have played with it. So next time I do this, I'll definitely just not click on the boxes. I think what I coughed or something and it went back to me before and I was like, oh, no, that's not what I want to come up when I make a noise. I shouldn't know if my chair was squeaking, it swapped the views. So, yeah, anyway.
Is there something to click on to mute the microphone? Because when I participate... Because it's already X'd out.
If you move your mouse around on the screen, you can see a little box at the top.
Yeah, because when I participate in podcasts with Skype, you know, you're always ready to mute if someone's playing something or if you have to call or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or get a cup of coffee or something.
Some people don't mute when they should. But anyway.
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
I don't want to be the internet cop.
No. Once you get used to podcasting.
It's Shane's hangout. The cop tonight.
Yeah. No, oh, here we go. Has to.
We've got a new guest here who's been a big supporter of my channel over the last couple of years, I guess now. Mr. Kareem, how are you, man?
Yeah, good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, absolutely. You're a bit quiet, but it should be all right.
Hey, Kareem.
Hey, Kareem. Hello, Kareem.
This is my first time doing this sort of thing, so I've just downloaded the Google plugins for that Hangout thing too.
Cool. Oh, thanks for joining in, mate. I appreciate it.
I'm in Tasmania, for those who are interested. So about, I don't know, what are we, 500 kilometres south of you, Shane, I think, in the Southern Hemisphere.
And, yeah, it'd be somewhere like that, yeah.
Yeah, big fan of the Freaky Prawn stuff online, so I thought I'd just show him a pedal. Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
I picked that up in a local guitar shop for like $200. I don't think the guy knew what he had. So
what is it? What is it? Sorry, people watching.
The Empress Super Delay Vintage.
Oh, the David Gilmour thing, isn't it?
No. Crazy, nice. Crazy amount of stuff going on there. Like crazy amount of delay setting, looper type thing. It's just. Yeah, I've not even fully explored that one, but as Shane knows, I've got crazy bad gas, like 20
guitars. Yeah, the only pedal that I use is, I mean, with the Mustang app, is the PC Electronic.
Yeah.
They're good. They're nice.
Can I ask a question to Kareem?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, Kareem, are you a David Gilmour fan?
Yeah, just recently I've been totally getting into him. I bought a couple of David Gilmour pedals. I'll go grab those and show you those too.
Cool.
Dude, you should do a review on them.
Yeah, it's funny doing YouTube reviews. It's taken me years to develop a thick enough skin to get it, you know, to put stuff out and have people criticize you. It's a daunting thing for a lot of people. I think the YouTube videos. It's something I had to get used to, but I think...
As long as it's some kind of...
Depends on the reviewer.
Criticism. If it's all negative, you know that those are just the type of people they are, so they'll never satisfy those people.
Yeah, I posted stuff on the Fender Mustang Amp group on Facebook.
Yep.
And usually what someone does is I'll say, this is what my Tele sounds like through this particular patch that I'm using with the Joe Barden pickups. And then I just started posting a screenshot of the patch that I, you know, tweaked.
Oh, yeah.
Because they usually want to know, you know, how I got that sound. And it's actually easier to give them to give people a screenshot of the Fuse software, and then they just go from there, you know, as opposed to like trying to post the patch somewhere and, you know, having people download it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that. Oh, sorry, Kerry, go for it.
I was going to say, I don't think it's up to you to give them a link to the patch anyway. They should be able to go and find it themselves.
No, it's one that I make, you know.
Oh, you made it yourself, okay.
Yeah, I noodle around, but, you know, I'm retired. another word for, like, old, you know.
Yeah.
No, I'm not old.
I was going to say, I think the only big problem with the Fender Fuse software is, you know, uploading patches is not as easy as it should be.
Exactly, like, right.
You got to know that there's a little login button down the right. You got to create the account. But also, what I notice sometimes too, if I put if I made a patch on the amp, transferred it to the computer, I'd then have to modify it and resave it to be able to upload it. Otherwise, it would say it was made by Fender and not by me. So
exactly, right.
Yeah, that is a little bit on the tricky side. Some of that stuff.
Yeah. So when they see the screenshot, they can say, oh, you're using... Because everyone who uses the Mustang and Fuse, they can recognize the amp, and then they just, you know, try and match certain things.
Yeah, that's right. So Mr. Kareem's back now with... He's got something in his hand here. What do we got? Oh, I can't really see it. It looks cool.
I can't see.
Is that MXR?
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the Empress.
Pump with the script load. And this is the piece de resistance, I guess.
Oh, I remember those. Great.
Yeah. With US power.
Oh, yeah? Cool. Oh, it just plugged straight into the mains.
Yeah, no. So that's the driver, the butler. So yeah,
who makes that pedal?
So that's they're called BK Butler tube driver.
Hmm. Who originally made that pedal? Do you know?
I could call BK Butler. Yeah, originally made them, and David Gilmour's very famous for using them. Actually, the guys who do the Pink Floyd show, the Australian guitarist, he has about two or three of these on his pedal board, I think.
Because it looks like the old Neutron pedals.
Shane, may I ask you a favor?
Yeah, sure.
Can you get a hold on the Australian Pink Floyd members and do a podcast with them?
Yeah, all right. I can check it out. I didn't even know there was a Pink Floyd tribute band or whatever.
It is, man. They're huge. They're big.
Okay, cool. I'll see what I can do. I wonder if... Yeah, okay. All right, I've got their names here, but I'll see what I can do.
They've been here a couple of times here in Portugal.
Oh, far out. Cool. So we're doing the wrong thing. You just start a tribute band. That's how you got to... If you got a favorite band... I always wanted to do, like, a Dire Straits tribute band. I think if I was to do, like, a full-blown cover band, it would have to be Dire Straits. They just got too many cool songs, and I could wear the headband as well and get the comb over thing going on as well.
What's your favorite Dire Straits song?
It'd have to be Sultans of Swing. That's one of the songs that made me want to play guitar. It was. That's the first time I kind of realized I liked the whole sing a little bit of something and then play a little bit of something kind of thing.
That's a classic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of, like, Knopfler's solo stuff as well. Like, Sailing to Philadelphia is a great album. He's just got a lot of really cool, you know, his solo stuff's almost more like J.J. Cale than, you know, it's funny when you Wikipedia J.J. Cale, the first two names that come up are Clapton and Mark Knopfler. So that's that sort of sound that I really love. I really love that sort of just laid-back kind of great, tasteful, you know, guitar playing and whatever else. It's cool.
Stan corrected. Damon Butts on the chats just clarified that Chandler made the tube drivers first and then BK Butler.
It was Chandler, okay.
Okay, cool. Hey, David, I'm going to just zoom in on you. You can talk for a sec, man. I've just got to step out. sorry, for about 30 seconds. And the automatic cameraman's not doing its thing, so I won't put any of the guys I've just met today under the pressure, mate. But it's all you. I'll be back in 30 seconds. I promise.
Okay, dude. Okay, man. Okay.
30 seconds. That'll be good.
Why were you people talking while I was not here?
I think
I think we were mostly talking about right away at the beginning about the Google Hangouts, you know, how we all got on here and stuff. Because the more everyone here starts to contribute to this, and you know, and then everyone will know more about everyone else's Google Hangouts as well.
Yeah, I came late to the show. I didn't get any newsfeed about the live stream.
Well, I just happened to check my email, and I found that Shane was on live, so I came there because I missed him live for since last summer, whenever he started. I kept missing him live. So I got there, and then he said that he was using the Google Hangout, so that's why I inquired, you know, when he said, like, maybe someone could join. And I just started clicking away, you know.
I just happened upon it myself. I just check my subscriptions. I get updates from if there's a new video or something from subscriptions.
Yeah.
That's how I find it, how I found it.
I found this live stream today by accident, actually. I was getting ready to bed because it's 3:49 a.m. here.
Yeah, it's 10 to 11 here.
Yeah, same here.
I got to get up early in the morning. Yeah, Wayne, you're in the same time zone as I am. That's right. Yeah.
That's an interesting part of doing this kind of thing too, because I usually do podcasts or you know listen to them and sometimes join in on them. And someone's in California, someone's in Dallas, Nova Scotia, and Scotland, which no one can really understand them.
Or England. So, David, you're a musician also?
I'm a hobbyist.
Okay.
I'm not exactly a musician. I'm a hobbyist.
It's a dedication to be a musician.
Yes, it is. Indeed.
At least to try to make a living at it.
I can't, man. I'm not that good.
It's tough, man. The only way you can really make a living in... I'm back, by the way, sorry. The only way you can really make a living is if you... You know, you got to have... I think not to use the same name as the TV show, but that X Factor personality and look mixed with great pop songs. That's about it. Either that or if you're happy just playing cover bands and, you know, you could probably make a living doing that here, doing the weddings and...
That's interesting you said about the cover bands because at the open mics, I'm used to hearing people doing some original music. I mean, of course, everybody plays covers. It's just something, you know, you want to sound like them. But there was a couple that played the other day, this one, it's a coffee shop, and he's really trying to push the open mic thing. And I go to record. And anyway, he had a Valentine thing. So he had this couple there, and that's all they do is cover songs. I asked him, well, do you have any original songs that you do? And they said, no. They said, we have nothing to say. You have an original song because you have something you want to say, right?
Yeah, that's it.
But they said, no, we just do cover songs. That's it. That's all they have ever done for the years.
It's funny that people treat music like that. It's almost like being a painter or, an artist of whatever type and all you want to do is copy, the music that, Or copy the paintings that other people have done. All you want to do is paint the Mona Lisa over and over. You know,
they're doing it as a business, so they're making money.
I see what you mean. Sorry.
To get paid. So probably not full time, but you know, on the weekends or evenings or whatever. But that's they're doing they're basically a cover band.
Other than the open mics, we always had to do. Like if we played a bar, not in an open mic, we had to play at least, if there were three sets, we had to play at least two sets of cover material. for us to play original material, because people come and they want to hear songs that they know usually.
Mm.
And then if you keep going back to the same places, people start to get to know your music then, you know. And now with YouTube and everything, people can like just find you now. You know.
I don't know if you ever heard of this YouTube personality. His name's Scott Grove.
But yes.
Oh, you have. Okay.
I think everybody's watched at least a couple of his videos.
he's always coming up, right, if you type something in.
Because
he said, he laid it out on the line. He says, being a working musician, you got to play what they want. It doesn't matter what you like.
Yes, absolutely.
Play what you want, what they want. Yeah.
If they scream out "Free Bird," you got to play "Free Bird."
Yeah, exactly, y'all. And that's about his biggest jokes, right?
Because they'll never stop screaming it all night until you do.
You better learn it.
Sing "Free Bird."
Well, I guess being from the South too. I mean, that would be.
That's definitely the song. That's the song for the unknown, and that's every open mic night. I've actually played it at a couple of places in Florida at jam nights and. Man, people eat that stuff up, man. They absolutely, you know, it's a great song, but that's definitely that has to be the most requested song in the U.S. I'm guessing
Southern. I mean, those are Southern guys, right? Lynyrd Skynyrd was
oh yeah, yeah.
And I'm referring back to like 1975.
They were asking for that.
Oh, screaming it all night long.
Yeah.
Hey Shane.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Can he do any Metallica?
Yeah, I posted a top 10 most requested stuff at most requested songs at a blues jam or something like that. And "Living on a Prayer" by Bon Jovi is always a good one to hear when you're doing a blues gig. That's always fun. man. "Know Any AC/DC" is another good one.
AC/DC song. Gary Moore, still got the blues. For you,
yeah,
that's always requested too, and everyone loves it.
Have you guys heard that "Called for Stormy Monday" song? That sort of parody of "Stormy Monday," where he goes through all the different. It's basically he goes, you know, that "Called for Stormy Monday," but Mustang Sally is just as bad. You know, free bird flies on Friday and all this sort of stuff. Like, it literally just goes through the mockery of trying to play blues live. And it's a pretty funny song. It's on YouTube. If you type in "Called for Stormy Monday," it's definitely a good laugh for those watching on
besides,
the stream.
Besides open mic, do you ever play, you know, whole full evening gigs playing just your own material?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. I've got one residency every month, once a month, at a place in the city here, and then I also play. I'm doing a live to air show. It's not for a few more months now, but basically they've been a really big supporter of my music and the blues stuff and all that kind of stuff. So we'll probably do like a 70-30 split, sort of 70% originals, 30% blues. But the blues that we play is kind of I'm not going to say we do anything new with it, but we put our own feels to stuff that would be not, you know, we take an old Robert Johnson song and play it super funky, you know, just to mix it up. So
you cover the song, but not the actual recording.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never really been great at mimicking stuff perfectly anyway, so I always love that West Coast sort of... Tommy Castro sound, that funky blues kind of stuff. So a lot of my rhythmic ideas sort of coming from that, from his sort of playing. I always loved the sort of funk blues kind of stuff. And I love really rock and shuffles and all that. So I'll take a song. Like half the time it's more just down to the feel of the whatever rhythm I play, and then I'll just start singing. Like, because, you know, with the blues, you can sing any blues song over any blues song. They all fit. It's just about how you execute the vocals, I suppose. So yeah, I'll just even a song like Red House, I'll play over Crossroads or whatever. It doesn't really, you can mess with the blues quite a bit. It's good fun.
Shane, where's your residency at?
It's at the Brunswick Hotel in Sydney Road. Yeah, it's nothing you know, they're a big supporter of original music. They're one of the few venues that really has a lot of original music of all sorts, and mixed skills as well. But yeah, we love it. The sound stage is really, like, the sound is really good. The guy who does the audio and the lights and all that. So it's just a good, fun venue to play. And it's one of the first, I think it might've been the first venue I ever played at one of the first two anyway, that I played at when I first started getting out live, and I've been playing there ever since. So, yeah, it's just good. I'm sorry, who said that?
Not usually.
Oh, I'm having trouble hearing you, mate. I'll turn you up a bit. Sorry, try it again.
During the week.
Oh, okay. No, it's on a Saturday. Yeah, 5 till 8 p.m., nice and early. So if you're ever in Melbourne, mate, I got all my gig listings, which is few and far between at the moment, up at my Shane's Band website, just shanesband.com. They've got our gigs and stuff up there. So, yeah, it's cool.
There's a place in Toronto here that's geared towards open mics, too. It's this place called The Supermarket. Okay. It's like a restaurant, and in the back part of the restaurant, they have a stage set up, and I guess it's like the back half. They turn into like a hall. You know, people could dance back there and the whole thing. And they got their own PA system set up, and just for open mics. And it's like the place in Toronto to go, like if you're like an original artist.
Yeah, cool.
Actually, I haven't even been down there yet.
Sorry.
Just heard about it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we've got open mic nights all over the place here, but I don't know if there's a sort of like a dedicated venue for it so much as there is just...
When you play an open mic there, do you bring... Are there usually amplifiers there already provided? Because when I played in New York, there was always a drum set, there were always amplifiers. You only brought your guitars.
In Australia, at least in Melbourne here... most people bring their own amps as well, but that's kind of the reason I bought the PV Bandit, was because a lot of people still don't bring their amp, and they can plug into that, and I don't mind. So we've got bass amp and drum kit provided, as well as a PA system. Most guitar players would bring their own stuff on the most part. And sometimes
that was the reason I bought the PV Bandit originally years ago, because I needed an amp that was not expensive like my Fenders and stuff, and it was much more portable to drag around to open mics and jams. And
Yeah.
And then I wound up just using it for everything.
They're a bit like that, eh? They're great. Wonderful. What about in Toronto? Do most people bring their own
gear? No, they usually set up the gear for them, but they do have amps and stuff like that, but some bass players will bring their own amp. Just because they have a bass amp, and you know they don't always supply that. It depends on the open mic how good it is. I mean, the one we had at the vegan restaurant that eventually shut down. I was even trying to help out the girl that was running it, and we got a bigger mixer, and I had some DI boxes set up so they can just plug it in, make it as simple as possible for the person to plug in. Right.
Oh, that's great.
But that got to be too much work. For this little thing that we had for like, it was like only on for like 2.5 hours. And it's like at the beginning of the night, it's like you're buzzing around for a half hour getting all this stuff rigged up.
Yeah.
How long do each person usually play? How long that?
Usually about three songs. Depends how busy it is, really.
Yeah.
Could be two songs. The place we have here in Markham, this is a place I'm at. It's a suburb of Toronto. They have a bunch of open mics around here, but usually they'll play about two songs, two to three songs. So it depends, like I said, it depends how busy it is. The Duchess, that's a bar, they could have like 20 people in one night.
Does everyone here live or near or in a city?
Yeah. I'm in a major city here, six million.
That's the problem where I am. There's no cities near me, so there's really only bars and bar bands, you know. No open mics. I haven't seen open mics in like 25 years.
Hey, Wayne.
Yeah?
Did you say before that you knew Danny Gatton, or...
Well, I heard his... in the 80s, I moved upstate here, and a local radio station in Woodstock, New York, was playing. It was the first time I heard him. They were playing it. It was like a public radio station. So I called the radio station. They gave me his name. And then somehow I found his phone number. I don't even remember how. And I called him. I spoke to him on the phone. He told me all about the pickups. And then he gave me Joe Barden's name and phone number, and I called Joe Barden. And that's and that was that, you know. But when I first heard Denny Gatton, no one else that I knew ever heard of him, you know, and I just, he just blew me away.
Wow.
I, you know, because I always played a telly from, from the early 70s. Telecaster was my first, my second good guitar. You know, I started with like a pawn shop guitar, and I noodled around on that for a while and never got anywhere until someone else came over my house and he brought like a real guitar. You know, mine was literally a $25 guitar from a pawn shop. He brought over an old SG Les Paul, the ones that are Les Pauls, but they're SGs. And once I got my hands on a real instrument, I immediately saved my money and I went out and I bought a Les Paul first, and then I switched to a Telecaster, and I've been playing Fender ever since. I've had other guitars, but I always go back to Fender and Telecaster.
So that's crazy. So you spoke to Danny Gatton to find out about the Joe Barden pickups.
Yeah, yeah. And it, it's funny because I've spoken to other people, like knowing and not knowing who they were, actually. And, you know, when you tell someone else, like, oh, yeah, I was over here with this guy, and like before when I said I saw Jimmy Page in a high school cafeteria, they said, well, what did you do? What did you do? And I said, they were like normal, you know. What did I do? I said, hey, I like your guitar, you know. And he said, okay, check it out, you know. No, Jimmy Page didn't do that, you know.
Hey, Kerry, I also wanted to ask you, did you ever make it to Jeff Healey's House of Blues in Toronto before that closed down?
No, I did not. Sorry.
I walked past it the one time I visited Toronto and it was closed, so I was just curious. No.
Can I ask you all a question?
Sure.
Go for it.
Yeah. Am I the only one who's seeing Karim at the screen right now with a pedal on his hand?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm the only one.
A pedal on his head?
On his hand.
Yeah, he's holding it. Yeah, he must have. It must have frozen on you or something.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. David, you also had someone give you a goodbye. Amanda said goodbye to you, I think. I don't know if you saw the chat. I've actually been ignoring the text chat here, so if you guys...
kind of, you hard know, to go back and forth, though.
Yeah, it is, especially when I don't just sit here quietly and look like
can
I'm...
We, can we add out the chat to the side of our window? Is that possible?
That's a really great...
I think you can click on that. I don't know if I should try it or not.
Because I did it on someone else's one time, you know, but I was clicking all over the place and I lost everything, you know.
Yeah, so I think we can text chat. It. I think okay. We can text chat within the window that's... There yes, is a group yeah, chat on Google Plus, but everyone else is on. Well,
okay,
those right. Of everybody who's left is on the YouTube video link. So,
that's,
look,
that's what I just clicked on. I clicked on the chat left. On the top left, and then it just there opened up the box, but there's nobody in it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's empty now. So much for that.
It's interesting because I can only see the faces chat. On YouTube. I can only see your faces on YouTube. On the Hangouts, I cannot.
Okay, something must have glitched on your side, man. Because well, I'm looking at it in a separate window.
I had to shut down the YouTube link because I was getting a double talking. And so,
Yeah, mine's still open, and I see what everyone else is seeing now. What I did, I had to mute it.
Yeah, I put it on pause as well, just so. It doesn't chew too much of my data while I'm doing this.
That's a good idea.
I was going to say, I think we've been Well, I've been streaming for, I think, over 2 hours, maybe longer. I'm not too sure how long the stream's been going, but it might be lunchtime for me. I was only planning on doing about 45 minutes to an hour today, and it's, like, I think closer to 2.5 hours. So,
hey, I don't hear your stomach rumbling yet. So.
Yeah, neither do I.
No lunch for you yet.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the Super Bowl to end because then everyone I know will be available again.
Well, you know,
DKG Custom, I think they have a record on there. I think it's like 8 hours in a Google Hangout.
Yeah, well, I'll have to come prepared next time, and we'll get a few people on, and maybe just do a. This would be a great sort of podcast thing, you know, just chatting about stuff and throwing it up on the iTunes thing that I do too. I might even do that with some of this. I might cut down this podcast into live stream into a podcast. If you guys are cool with me, maybe using some of it for my podcast. Is that cool with you guys?
Absolutely. Because this way I'll give the link to people I know so they can see me. And you guys.
All right, cool. Ooh. The live stream will be on YouTube. There's no doubt about that. That'll be saved as a file, but I might take the audio from it and put it together in an audio form. Sorry, Kerry, you were about to say something?
No, I did actually see that documentary before, open mic documentary, and I was thinking, when I saw it, I was like, God, it's not that crazy here in Canada. I think it's just because we say sorry so many times in a day. I could like have a record for saying sorry all the time.
That's
pretty aggressive. That was pretty aggressive, yeah.
Yeah, that place is really different to... to normal, to most venues, it's very, very unique. It's not everywhere else is nothing like that place, and that's why I thought it would make for a good documentary.
And it wasn't because you were there doing a documentary. That's just the way it normally is.
No, it's like that all the time. Hey, my automatic cameraman's working again. Cool, but no, it's literally like that all the time. So. Yeah, it's really unique. You get some pretty interesting characters. That's the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you go on my channel on YouTube, like I don't really post anything myself. I just record these some of these open mics. So some people don't have their own YouTube channel, so I'll just put it on my channel, and then I link it onto your Facebook or something.
That'd be great. I'd love to.
If you want to see a few there. Then.
Cool.
The Bowie one, it was pretty good. Not bad.
All right, yeah, definitely post it into anywhere where I can find it, and I'll check it out. I've got a couple of questions from the chat room here. Crush Proof is asking me something. Hey, thanks so much, guys, for sticking around. I'm starting to fade. I've had more caffeine than food today, so that's not a good thing. I need to get some food into me. But
thank you.
Thank you. I'm not a hangout virgin anymore. Thank you.
Yeah. That's definitely the first time I've done this. And it won't be the last. So it's funny because when I look at you guys talk, your audio sync is perfect. And when I see my video, it's out. Is it still out to you guys, or does it look like it is out?
When I see it, it's out, yeah. That's why sometimes I don't respond, because I don't see your facial expression is different than what your voice comes out, you know?
Are you on wire or by wireless?
No, I'm on a really good connection straight in, and I'm on an Ethernet connection, and I'm on my main rig here. I think it's got something to do with my webcam. I think it might take photos in 720p, but it might not stream very well in HD.
I'm on a laptop with Wi-Fi.
Yeah, yours is fine. Okay. Yeah, so much for buying a good camera. I'm going to have to get this sorted out. And,
what kind of camera you got?
My battery is dying. Microsoft LifeCam. The reason I want to use this camera is because the picture quality is not bad, but the sync on the audio is terrible. It might be the fact I'm also using this. Maybe I should just use the camera on the mic. So I'll work it out. Get it working.
See, I have a desktop also, a separate webcam and a mixer. Yeah. But I wound up just using the laptop all the time because of the convenience. It's all in one, and I've even heard myself on playbacks from different shows, and the laptop sounds fine. You know, so yeah, I just leave it. I use this with the Google Hangout to call people, telephone. I got the Google phone number, and I just call everyone, and I can do everything hands-free.
If you got good bandwidth, it works fine. That's what I was using in Jamaica to call up to Canada here. My mother's in a retirement home. She's got dementia, right? So I had to call her back every once in a while and just make sure she's okay. And it was fine.
The only thing is, like, especially if you're using Skype, it's really not good to fall asleep with your little headphones on. And if someone calls you, you just, you know, you're sleeping all of a sudden. That just happened to me yesterday, so that's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
Good alarm clock.
Well, a definite, it's a perfect wake-up call.
Literally.
No, thanks, guys. It's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy chatting to people, watch the vids, and support the channel.
You're very welcome. I'm glad I met everybody here.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's all. You know what? I'm always surprised how nice everyone is. And I know I shouldn't be now, but the few people that I speak to, like I didn't know David. I got on a Skype call with him. He's lovely. I've spoken to several other people on YouTube or that are around the YouTube channel or on the Facebook thing or whatever. I sometimes get calls as well. And everyone's been great.
I've only left you comments here and there, and you've just replied to them, you know. But until you actually speak to someone and see them, then it's like then you know them. This was great. Yeah. Wow. This was great.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, guys, and thanks to everyone that's in the chat room as well. Sorry, I'm reading the chat as I'm talking, getting confused again. But Crushproof said he was messing around before. That's why I kept saying my name over and over. I don't know why, but anyway, I'll leave that on.
Now I have something legitimate. Now I have something legitimate to tell everybody when they say, what were you doing when you weren't watching the Super Bowl?
You're having a worldwide conference call.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they'll understand it, too. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks again, guys.
Have a good night, everybody. Bye.